to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, his word, and our joy in following him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. You know, today we're going to talk about repentance and what that truly looks like in the lives of believers. And many of us, Michelle, have seen a rather amazing news report that a very popular teacher of the false prosperity gospel, also known as the Word of Faith movement, name it and claim it, prosperity gospel, and so forth, that this preacher made some statements that seemed like he was repenting. I saw one headline that said, Benny Hinn repents of the prosperity gospel. But did he genuinely repent? And what does true repentance look like? How can we tell whether or not a false teacher has really repented?
That is the question. Well, and if you read the social media comments on the Benny Hinn thing, it seems like there's some confusion out there over whether he really has repented or maybe he hasn't. But let's go ahead and start at the beginning of that.
Well, that sounds good, Michelle. And we want you to know from the outset, you know, our program today, not so much about Benny Hinn, the person, but about how to discern true repentance from something else. So the news, however, does give us a good springboard into this conversation. Last week, a YouTube video of Benny Hinn apparently repenting of the prosperity gospel teaching started making the rounds, and you may or may not have seen this. In total, it was about 4.5 minutes, and we've got an excerpt of it, and I understand it was a four-hour video in total, but what we all saw was just that little bit of him making these statements. So we're going to play a clip right now, and just a couple minutes long, so just take a listen, and then we'll talk about it.
So it's all about our brokenness, our old man. We call that the flesh. Must be broken, must be out of the way. And today, sadly, among a lot of circles, all you hear is how to build the flesh. It's a feel-good message. That's what you hear out there. It's all about feel good, do good, all that. Make money, all the rest of it. And I'm sorry to say that prosperity has gone a little crazy. And I'm correcting my own theology. And you need to all know it. Because when I read the Bible now, I don't see the Bible in the same eyes I saw the Bible 20 years ago. And Steve Strang from Charisma, whom we go back years, he was in my wedding. People don't even know that Charisma magazine began with my father-in-law. Charisma magazine started with Roy Harden, and I married his daughter. So Steve Strang was in my wedding. We go way back. And he's already asked me, said, are you ready to make it public? I said, well, not totally. Because I don't want to hurt my friends or my love who believe things I don't believe anymore. And I will tell you now something that is going to shock you. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts, because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Did you hear me? I think that hurts the gospel. So I'm making this statement for the first time in my life, and frankly, I don't care what people think about me anymore. So I had a guy. Well, I'll tell you who. It was Dan Willis. I love Dan with all my heart. I said, don't you dare preach that message again. Yeah. Just a few days ago. I said, no. I said, I'm not going to hear it. I don't want to be a part of it. So when they invite me to telethons, I think they will not like me anymore. Because if you look at the Word of God, I don't want to get into it now. Am I shocking you? Good. Let's have a high five on this one. If I hear one more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them. I think that's buying the gospel. That's buying the blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. That's about all I will say. If you are not giving because you love Jesus, don't bother giving. I think giving has become such a gimmick, it's making me sick to my stomach. And I've been sick for a while too. I just couldn't say it. And now the lid is off. I've had it. You know why? I don't want to get to heaven and be rebuked. No, I think it's time we say it like it is. The gospel is not for sale. And the blessings of God are not for sale. And miracles are not for sale. And prosperity is not for sale.
Now, Michelle, at this point in the video, his audience was reacting very favorably, and he had just spent the previous 90 minutes conducting one of his healing services. So we want you to now think about what you just heard, the way he was speaking, his demeanor, his words, all of that, and then listen to these scriptures that Michelle is going to read that describe two men who truly were biblically repentant.
Right. Let's go ahead and start with Luke 19, 1 through 10. A lot of us are very familiar with this story. This is the story of Zacchaeus. And it says, he entered Jericho and was passing through. That's Jesus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And then we'll stay in Luke and we'll go back just one chapter to Luke 18, 10 through 14. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, Jesus is speaking of the tax collector here, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So think back to Benny's so-called repentance that we just heard, and really a lot of what we're going to be saying tonight, like Amy said, it could apply to any false teacher who claims to repent or even to people that you know personally. So this isn't just about Benny, but we are using him as an example. So go back and watch the video and listen and look and ask yourself, does it look or sound or feel anything like the repentance of Zacchaeus or the other tax collector that we just read about? For example, the tax collector and Zacchaeus were both humble. And if you'll notice in the video, Benny kind of struts around the stage, proudly pontificating what he thinks about everything. The tax collector and Zacchaeus own their sin. They say, I did this. I repent. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But Benny talks about the prosperity gospel teaching as though it's something outside of himself, as though it was done by others, not him. And he talks about rebuking others for asking for money, but he offers no grief over his own sin of asking for money. Another point, the tax collector and Zacchaeus immediately go public with their repentance with no regard for what others might think. But Benny secretly confides in a friend who asks if he's ready to go public. And Benny says no, because he doesn't want to hurt his friends and his family who believe differently than he does. And later he says in the video, he says, "I'm saying this now because I don't care what people think." But for someone who doesn't care what people think, he pauses for the audience to clap, and he encourages them to react positively. He gives this one guy a high five and everything. He wants people to praise him, yet he says, "I don't care what people think." And then finally, the tax collector and Zacchaeus demonstrate grief over their sin and exuberance over forgiveness. Zacchaeus is really joyful over the forgiveness he has received. And yet Benny, you know, obviously people have different ways of expressing emotion, but if you'll notice Benny's emotion compared to the emotion of the tax collector and Zacchaeus, Benny has what we would call a flat affect. He's not demonstrating any sort of emotion that his heart has been touched over his sin. And so I would just say, think about the people that you know who have genuinely repented and gotten saved, and think about when you repented and got saved. Did the repentant people that you've observed, or you yourself when you got saved, did they seem more like Zacchaeus and the tax collector, or did they seem more like Benny? Amy, what about people that you've known who have repented?
Oh, Michelle, I've known so many, and they're all just beautiful, beautiful stories of faith and glory and glorifying God. So I will share that I've had to repent many times as I'm being sanctified, and that is a process. Some people in Christian circles do say that, you know, an "I'm sorry" is simply lip service and not repentance, and that can be correct, but I will say that when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, there's usually a deep godly sorrow for not only the sin that I've committed, but just the dank condition of my human self in general. I just hate it. And knowing that I've offended a holy, righteous God, the Christ who died this excruciating death for what I've done, that just grieves me so much. So we should hate our sin enough to mortify it, which is what comes when the Holy Spirit does bring us to repentance. And that's the turning from sin. Christ dies to remove the penalty of sin for the believer, and he also removes the shame of it. And that, I would say, Michelle, that's the present tense. He removes the shame, and he is removing the shame as we are being formed into Christ-likeness. So not only does the Holy Spirit convict us of our sin, but he actually is our helper in the process of repentance and growing away from that sin toward holiness. And so that word holiness is something I think you and I both agree is something really important to just really get our point across in this program.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, as you were talking about that, a thought just popped into my mind that I had a pastor a while back who, when he was preaching one Sunday, just did a very simple illustration of the word repentance. And what he did was, when he was trying to explain what repentance was, he walked to stage left, and he said, before you repent, you're walking this direction. He walked to stage left, and he said, and after you repent, and he turned 180 degrees around and walked all the way over to stage right. And so you just turn around, you go the opposite direction. And that's yes. really what it would look like for Benny to repent. And I really want to also emphasize that we don't want to say that just because Benny's not apparently showing any emotion or not emoting the way that we feel like he should emote, that definitely is a sign that someone has not repented. You certainly can't just base it on that, on emotions alone. But, you know, it's hard to, like you were talking about, thinking about sinning against a holy God and knowing the damage. Benny has done so much damage to untold millions of people, their faith, their health a lot of times, and things like that. And just, I can't imagine the weight of that on me and not showing some sort of emotion. So that's sort of what we're getting at there. But let's think about what it would look like if Benny repented. What would that look like? Yeah. I can tell you exactly what it would look like for someone to repent from working in Benny Hinn's ministry, and that is Costi Hinn. Costi Hinn is Benny's nephew, and he used to work in Benny Hinn's ministry, for those who don't know. He reaped all the financial benefits. I'm sure a lot of our listeners heard him tell the story of staying in hotels that cost $25,000 a night in Dubai. He had a Hummer. He had a whatever those really expensive watches are for men, a Breitling watch, I think he said, you know. So he was in the thick of things, and God started working in his life, and he left that ministry. He left that lavish lifestyle, almost a riches to rags kind of thing. I mean, he's not in rags or anything like that, but he certainly doesn't live as high on the hog as he used to. And he got saved, and he repented to everyone. And what he did was he got plugged into a doctrinally sound church where he was discipled. And now he's a pastor of a doctrinally sound church, and he's preaching the truth of the gospel. And far from remaining silent so he wouldn't hurt the feelings of friends who believe differently than he does, he's warning people against the prosperity gospel, and he's doing everything he can to get his family out of it. So if you wanted to know what it would look like for someone for like Benny to get to repent and get saved, get Costi's book, God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel, which is Costi's testimony of being saved out of Benny Hinn's world, and get that and read it. And that is what repentance in someone's situation like that would look like.
Absolutely. And I've actually, I haven't gotten the book yet. It's on my wish list, but if you can't afford to get the book right now, you can go search online for some of the podcasts that Costi Hinn has been featured on, and just an incredible story. And just like we saw Zacchaeus in his repentance, going back and making restitution to the people he had defrauded, you know, if Benny were to truly repent, wouldn't we see him do the same thing? You know what? It's going to cost him a lot. Everything he has worked for in his ministry, I mean, if you can just imagine the scope and the breadth of this ministry that he has, that he's built up over many, many years. But, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we could eventually see him do things like step down from and dismantle his ministry, cancel all his tours, his crusades, speaking engagements, or at least change them, and then take all his books that, you know, the ones that have really harmed people out of print, shut down all of his online platforms, and just do anything in his power to scrub the internet of his false teaching. At the moment, Michelle, he said he has been planning to keep his most popular teachings available online for those who want them, but can you imagine returning the money of people that he has taken from and park himself in a solid church, like you said, so he can learn the gospel, be saved, and really be discipled in sound doctrine? It would be a total and permanent change of lifestyle for him, wouldn't it?
It really would. And, you know, I just before we started recording, I saw on Twitter, I think Justin Peters mentioned on Twitter, that even after all this that Benny has said recently, he still has two healing crusades coming up before the end of the year that he has not canceled. And I believe Justin was showing that he is still advertising that these are going to take place. But you're exactly right. That is what repentance would look like. Like we said, it's a total change of heart and mind and a total change of direction in your life. But Benny hasn't said and done the things that look like and sound like biblical repentance. And I think what we're seeing here is what 2 Corinthians 7:10 describes as worldly grief. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." I mean, I'm not even sure that what Benny has said and done rises to the level of worldly grief. It seems more like a tactic or a paradigm shift for the sake of marketing. It doesn't really seem like he feels very guilty or very sad over what he's done or anything like that. But, you know, thinking about it, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:7 that love believes all things, love hopes all things. And I know that we have listeners out there that God has really blessed with the gift of mercy and compassion, and they really want to believe that Benny has repented and hope for the best for him. And, you know, I know you and I, Amy, would say the same thing.
Yes.
We hope that he would repent too and believe the truth of the gospel. And that's not a bad thing to hold room in your heart to hope that he will repent. But what we're trying to say here is don't be gullible. Don't believe he has repented just because he says so. I mean, after decades of lying and cheating and deceiving people, and that language is not too strong for what he has done. No. He has been doing this for a long time, and that's exactly what he's been doing. But after decades of doing those things, he has not earned the level of trust from you that you would just take him at his word. And you should not give that level of trust to him. Take a wait and see approach and follow what scripture says to do. And let's talk about a few of those scriptures that would kind of guide us if you want to sort of hold out hope that he is repenting. Romans 16:18, talking about false teachers, says this: for such persons, talking about false teachers, do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Now, naive, as we know, is another word for gullible. So don't be that gullible person who's deceived by Benny's or any other false teacher's smooth talk. I mean, how do you know whether he's being sincere or he's just saying smooth things to trick more people into believing his false teachings? And then Matthew 10:16, Jesus is sending the disciples out to preach, and he says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Benny Hinn, if there ever was a wolf, Benny Hinn is a wolf. And if you want to believe that he's repented, it's okay to be innocent as a dove like that, but you've also at the same time got to be wise as a serpent so you won't end up being duped and taken in by anything, any sort of way that he might be trying to deceive people. In Matthew 3:8, Jesus says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, Benny, it's time to put your money where your mouth is and start giving some of that money back and make your walk match your talk, you know, of repentance. Amy, you and I are both old enough to remember Ronald Reagan was known for saying, "Trust but verify."
Yes.
And so if you want to believe that Benny has repented, watch his fruit over the next 6 months or so. Is he bearing fruit in keeping with repentance, or is he still doing crusades and still accepting money and things like that? And then finally, a really great passage that really applies well to this situation is Matthew 7:15-20. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." You notice he doesn't say of these false teachers, "You will recognize them by what they say."
Correct.
Why? Because these people make a business and a lifestyle out of lying. You'll never be able to tell whether they're telling you the truth or not. Jesus says to watch their fruits, and then you'll know where they stand. So those are some good scriptures to remember if you would like to hold out that hope. And just like Amy and I do, we hope that he'll repent. But just don't be gullible, but instead, you know, keep in mind these scriptures and do what scripture says to do. Amy, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the upcoming conferences that he has. I actually, as I was getting ready to record, I pulled that up as well. So great minds. and it looks like it's a miracle healing service scheduled for September 14th and another on the 23rd. So as we record here, that's just a few days away from now, that first one. And we know, you know, he probably doesn't do his own social media, and this came from social media, but he probably booked these conferences long before these so-called statements. But this will be a really good litmus test to see what he has to say in these healing services, and I'm sure they'll be recorded, so it won't be long before we'll know for sure. You know, will any of his statements stick? You know, and another thing that maybe listeners weren't aware of is that Benny Hinn has made statements in the past that were similar to what he said this past week. And of course, nothing has changed. But I don't think it is wrong to hope, Michelle. I think we've all seen people come out of the worst kinds of darkness it's all darkness without the Lord, but you know, the difference is that Benny is a teacher and not just somebody off the street who's a random sinner like the rest of us. So I have never seen a false teacher change his stripes. Have you?
No, I really have not. It seems like they start in getting into false teaching and then they just go downhill from there. Yeah. You know, we always hold out hope that anyone will repent, false teacher or regular person. But, you know, sometimes I think it's like, they just harden their hearts and they keep hardening their hearts and keep hardening their hearts until the point where God says, okay, I'm going to give you over to a hardened heart. And it's just, there's no hope beyond that. Of course, we can't know that because we can't look into people's hearts. So we can always continue to pray, but it's a very dangerous thing to believe and teach false doctrine because your soul is in danger when you do that. And I wanted to say, I was really glad that you brought up that he has done this before. When I first found out about this latest so-called repentance thing is one of my kids came to me and said, did you hear Benny Hinn repented of the prosperity gospel? And I said, I think you need to check the date on that article because he did that a year ago. You know, I thought it was an old article they were bringing to me. And they said, no, it's just real recent and everything. And I mentioned Justin Peters before. He just got finished making a really thorough video on Benny Hinn and this latest repentance thing and a lot of his past history. And we're going to link that up in our show notes. And I would really encourage everybody to watch that if you're not familiar with him and just the horrible damage that he does to people and their faith. So we'll get that linked up for you.
And the other thing we're going to link up is we've got the full transcript of what he said as well as the video. So you can take a look there. You know, the one encouraging thing, Michelle, is that he has something in 2019 that he didn't have when he made those statements a year ago. And that is his nephew, Kosti, whose eyes were opened by the Holy Spirit, like you said. You know, Kosti was given a brand new heart and a love for the Lord. And his repentance came in the form of, like you said, disavowment of riches and publicly talking about his experience with the false prosperity movement that he was in for most of his life. So, and I'm encouraged because he talks so lovingly about his family. He doesn't trash talk Benny Hinn or anybody else in the family. And in fact, he still has a loving relationship with them and they know where he is spiritually. And one has to hope that the truth Kosti is sharing with his uncle and the rest of his family is having at least some sort of powerful effect. As we know, faith comes by hearing, and I still have faith that God's will is a powerful thing. So who can resist it? So like you said, Michelle, we wait, we see, we pray, and especially ladies, pray for the millions of followers worldwide. Those dear souls who are caught in this trap of thinking that they can buy blessings in the form of wealth, that is just heartbreaking, and we need to, wherever we can, share the truth with them. So that's why Michelle and I talk about these things and bring you to scripture, because being in God's word and having the Holy Spirit bring us toward the light of the truth is truly what we all need for our Christian life to be about.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I think we're coming to the end here of another podcast, Michelle. So that's going to do it for A Word Fitly Spoken. So don't forget, though, you can find some great resources on this program here and at our website, awordfitlyspoken.life.
Right. And if you would be so kind, and if you enjoy A Word Fitly Spoken, please leave us an encouraging review on iTunes or Podbean or whatever podcast platform you use, because that bumps us up in the ratings and that helps us to reach more people with the truth of God's word.
Amen. And until next time, walk worthy.